On last week's The Space Show, we heard from Space Association member Len Halperin. He is a former scientist and worked with the in the defence area here in Australia, in Melbourne. And he put some forthright views on last week's show. He was speaking at the Space Association of Australia meeting, and he was willing to answer some questions afterwards. Now, because the questions were very hard to hear, well, I'm going to read the questions in the studio and just play you his responses to those questions. So let's see if we can get underway here. The first question from the audience at the Space Association meeting was, what ways are there to generate the will to go into space, as that will does not exist today?
I agree with you completely, and the answer is that we have no way of generating it. Someone has to spontaneously say, you know what? We're going to do this because it's a good thing to do and because there's a good argument that it's the right thing to do. It's hard. When all else fails and there's no reason to do something, maybe sometimes we just have to do it. I can show you another argument, and I'd like to do another presentation maybe next year, on why the space program may not last much longer. There's a statistical analysis shown that we've got a very small window of opportunity to do anything. Instead of sitting around and saying, yeah, we'd all like to go into space, but not right now, someone else will do it eventually, that logic will mean that it will never happen. So someone somewhere has to say that we just do it. To hell with the cost, I'm going to put money into it and I'm not going to see a return on it. My grandchildren's grandchildren might see a return on it. That's the big ask. But we are at a critical point in our civilization. We've made the initial step, and that only happened through a political circumstance of a Cold War. We were very fortunate, otherwise it wouldn't have happened at all. We still wouldn't be on the moon now. And so we've demonstrated that it can be done. We now need to make the break, and someone somehow has to do it again. That's the hard bit.
Now, Len, the Apollo moon program was motivated by the Cold War. Today, even with China, the motivation is not there. Do you agree?
China was determined to get into the space program, and it flew its first human in space in 2003, and 12 years later, it's still stuck in the Gemini program, which is appropriate for tonight. So what have they done? They've had five flights in 12 years, right? In 8 years, America went to the moon 45 years ago. So it proves that it's not easy. And China really is in the national prestige business. If they can get a bit of national prestige out of it, they'll do it in a heartbeat. So why isn't it happening? That just proves how difficult it is.
Apollo was a bizarre confluence of rivalry, politics, personalities, technology, and finance. It was the American response to Sputnik.
Just as an aside, Apollo wasn't the response to Sputnik. Corona was the response to Sputnik. Eisenhower freaked out about espionage, and he authorised the Corona program, which was spy satellites. He never thought about the moon, wasn't interested in the moon, it had no strategic value, and it didn't involve men unless the men were up there, or women were up there with cameras taking pictures of the Earth. That was the only reason to put humans in space, which led to the mole program, which was dumped. But it's like, I heard Neil deGrasse Tyson the other day said, the only way we'll get to Mars is if there's a space race. If China declares that they want it for military reasons, the United States will be there in 10 minutes. Yeah, well, that's a nice theory, but Neil, it won't work because the numbers say it won't work. And China can't do it anyway. Even if they said we want to put a military base on Mars or whatever, they can't.
We have most of the technologies needed to go to Mars, so why isn't it happening?
Because the one element has disappeared since Neil stepped onto the moon, the space race was over. Since then, that major first stage element in my model hasn't existed, even though all the other stuff has. So China's talked about the moon and Mars, and Russia's talked about the moon and Mars, and Europe has talked about the moon and Mars. America's talked about something that I don't understand, because it hasn't got moon or Mars in it, it's got some rock. But it's hard, and no one's doing it. No one's been beyond LEO since December 72. So the proof is right there. It's bloody hard.
LEO means low Earth orbit. That is, in the case, basically, since the Hubble repair, you know, was about, 800 kilometres up, no one's been further than that. Now, After a century of Antarctic exploration, we still have only a few bases there because there is no economic advantage to establishing colonies there. Is the same true for Mars? There is no economic rationale for Mars colonies?
We can't geoform Mars anyway. That can't happen. We don't have the technology to terraform Mars. It's not possible.
A whole lot of technologies and ideas have been suggested for making it affordable for us to leave planet Earth.
These are all excellent questions. I want to bring it all together by saying my friend who I've been thinking about this with for a very long time, he's trained me to think in bigger time spans than 1 year or 10 years or 100 years. We think in thousands and millions and billions of years. In the slice that we find ourselves in now, we are operating as a society in a certain socioeconomic framework. We have certain access to resources and energy. We do things in a certain way. We know a certain amount of physics. And the products of all of that come together and produce rockets that go to the moon and everything like that. And David is completely correct in everything he said. Within the framework that this society finds ourselves in on this planet, at this point in our existence, there's no reason to go into space. And we don't need to colonise or anything like that. And I've got no argument with that at all. If we expand our boundaries, I can make a very, very solid argument, and I'll do that at another time and place, to show why we maybe should, and why we should take this very, very narrow, paper-thin opportunity in our whole history to maybe do something that will ensure our long-term survival.
Lynn, when should we try to go into deep space?
No, but I've asked the question in a different way, because I reckon you could do a vox pop on just about... You could go down the main street of Oakland any day and say, do you think that one day we'll explore the stars? And I bet you get a majority answer, 90% I'd be getting, and say, yeah. And they say, well, do you want to start now? And they say, no, we can't afford to do it now. And that'll be a 90% answer as well. So if we're not special at any point in time, we're just at a random point in time, then that's always going to be the answer. They'll always say, yeah, one day, but not now. That means we'll never do it.
One of the questioners at the Space Association of Australia meeting said that in his view, we are in a race for survival. If we can develop nuclear fusion before the oil runs out, then we have a bright future. If the oil runs out first, then we have a terrible future and are doomed to never becoming a space-faring civilization. Here's what Len Halprin said in response.
I partially agree with you, but there's a counter-argument for that too. And okay, I'll lead into a taste of next year, one very quick one. The reason is, at the end of the day, when you put everything else up there, all those fabulous reasons and everything you mentioned tonight, the logical argument is we are a single point of failure. No matter how clever we are on this planet, and we can be super clever on this planet, we can cure disease, wipe out global warming, all of the above. If we start on this planet, we are a single point of failure. If there's going to be any longevity for the species, we have to leave the planet in some form or another for that reason. So I'm now talking long term. I'm not talking one generation. I'm talking 100,000 million years, whatever. Otherwise, if we stay on the Earth and make a decision to never leave, we will die on the Earth. And the universe will never know that we existed. Now, that's another big philosophical issue. But to me, the single point of failure is the only argument at the end of the day. If the big rock comes and we're all on this target, we're in trouble. If the big rock comes and a bunch of us are somewhere else, we've got seeds out there. Humanity's not wiped out. The single point of failure, it is very philosophical, I agree. But we're all thinking in the paradigm that we're living in now. We're all thinking in the socio-economic world that we've grown up and been raised in, with the way the global economy works, the way our resources and energy work, the way our technology works. This is what we can do now, right? But it's not going to last forever.
All right. That's it.
If we don't leave the Earth, something will get us. Either we'll wipe ourselves out or nature will wipe us out. But it's guaranteed.
Len, what is your take-home message then?
But the thing I want to take away from you tonight, when anyone comes to you and says they're going to do this and they're going to do that and we're going to go to Mars, Jupiter or wherever, there's a hard number that says, wait a sec, it's going to cost you that much for every kilogram you want to take, how are you going to do it? And there's no way around that number. You can tweak it by a factor of two or something. Yeah, we've shaved a bit off the end. We've made it a bit lighter. Our fuel's a little bit more powerful. But it's not a paradigm changer. example of a paradigm change. We used to travel around the world in boats. Now we travel around the world in aeroplanes, and months became hours. That's a paradigm change. We haven't had that transition in space flight. We've only got chemical rockets. Now, I don't know the future. We'll have warp drive one day, and the whole picture will change. But until then, in this environment, this is the way it is. It's $1,000 to $10,000 a kilo. No way around it. I can't give you a discount. I don't know the boss who controls those things. It's $1,000 to $10,000 a kilo. That's it. When they say they're going to Mars, do the math. Just get that number, multiply it. How many kilos do you want to take? You got $10 to $13 on you? Well, you're not going. It's that simple. Yeah, Bitcoin, yeah. Okay.
That was Len Halperin speaking at the Space Association of Australia.